I would like, if I may, to take you on a strange journey.
Travel World. AM 600.
You beast. You savage. Come on, bark like a dog for me.
Ooh, push that button.
Alive. It's alive. It's alive.
Ozzy Osbourne on AM.
Now you're talking.
Let's do it.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-public number.
The hands of Chad behind the console. Welcome to Travel World for Saturday, June the 5th.
Good morning, Stephen Pickford here, and another week has come and gone, and after the 11:15 break, we'll be talking about overcoming your fear of flying. Debbie Seaman has written a book chronicling some of the ways you can get over that fear to get away to some of those interesting places near and far that you may want to travel to for business or pleasure.
And she has a perfect subject, Stephen, because I was considering playing those clips about you in the Dash 8 during the thunderstorm, as well as trying to get you on a seaplane in Vancouver.
Oh, yes, in Vancouver. I passed on that. I have been on a Dash 8 during some horrendous storms when it's 100 mile per hour headwinds, and you can hear the hail hitting the cockpit, and it's going up and down. When the pilot calls it severe turbulence, and when people are crying on board and passing up their lunch, even though they serve no food on board the aircraft, you know... It's not a pleasant ride.
This was the flight into Philadelphia?
Yes, Philadelphia, January of 97, and it took like 2.5 hours to do an hour and 15-minute flight.
So, must have been the flight I said people should take.
Oh, yeah, you must have recommended it. And shortly thereafter, actually, you went on that flight in August, and no sooner did we get home. We got home on Sunday, and on Monday, there was a fax came in from Air Alliance, which actually is a company no longer exists anymore. It's been merged into Air Nova, but... they sent the fax, say, we are dropping the service to Philadelphia. Now, is there a correlation? Willa Backus flew on the flight on Sunday, and on Monday, they decided to pass it by.
That must have been.
Must have been. A lot of people are heading off on, or planning to start on vacation, and July 1st weekend, July 4th weekend, coming up in a month's time, and we'll be down in the north of Boston area, Salisbury Beach.
Once again, and Chad's favorite person, Maria Miles.
Oh, yes, I spoke to her this week, and she said, hey, how's Chad doing? So,
did she really?
Yes, she did. She said he has to come down to visit us. A lot of things happening in Salisbury Beach that whole weekend, July 1st, July 4th. Every day there's retrospective bands playing 50s and 60s music. Every night there'll be fireworks on the beach.
Hot rods.
Yeah, cars and great food and the amusement rides, the batting cages and the bumper cars and all those things going on. The whole summer experience at a beach resort that you know, was big in the 50s, and people think, well, is there anything in Salisbury anymore? Well, it's still there.
Well, we're going to be bringing Lori and Amy down there because I know Amy is going to love this place.
Yes, and right near the... there's Plum Island, the bird watching sanctuary, and you can be as quiet or as busy as you want in Salisbury Beach. And shopping in a quaint New England town nearby at Newburyport. We'll be staying at the Andover Inn in the heart of the Merrimack River Valley on the campus of Phillips Academy. I think that's where the original Ask the Expert came from.
That's right.
And it's a small 30-room inn. Beautiful shade trees and walking paths and a duck pond and
right.
Thanks for the sound effects. No, yes. Actually, I think a duck just walked in here.
Well, we don't have one of those machines like they have in Q92.
No, so that they just bought. We have to make our own sound effects, so we're low budget, so we will bring our kazoo and our accordion and play along.
Accordion.
I guess those classes that they taught there at the, what was it, the Quebec Conservatory of Music on Heron Road in Dorval in 1969 knew there would always pay off somehow. So,
yes.
You know, we'll be down there, Salisbury Beach and Newburyport, Andover, Lowell, that whole area.
I wonder if Maria's going to get me to bleach my hair again like I did in 97.
Yeah, she dared you to do it, and you went to the salon in Newburyport.
Well, she wanted me to be a beach bum, so I was.
Well, no. Maybe emphasis on the bum, I don't know.
Or
no, maybe she wanted to see your bum on the beach, I don't know.
Well, I don't know, probably Chad's bum on the beach.
Yeah, so there was an attraction there.
Well, yes, and we actually taped this, and we've been using this for periodic lead-in and lead-outs for the last 2 years, and she's going to want to renew the Chad Mystique.
Do a new Chad ID. So you were telling me that you were talking to Manny Witt, and Manny Witt has a little kiosk going
yes,
on this weekend.
Yes, Mr. New England himself is having a kiosk in Rockland Center. So for those of you who'd like information on the New England area, which I strongly recommend, go down, look for brochures, particularly on the Black Locust Inn with the great Len Vignola.
Yes, and you'll have all the information as well, and north of Boston, Salisbury Beach, and Andover, and Lowell, places mm-hmm. we'll be visiting, places we love.
You'll probably get to meet, in fact, Lisa Witt, Richard from the Bureau, as well as Rosemary, and all the other folks who are helping out at the New England Tourism Center, doing a very good job promoting New England here in Montreal.
Yeah, you'll have a lot of fun if you hit New England this summer. It's not too far to go, and a lot of reasonable prices. You don't have to think Canadian dollar, but that's not an issue, really, because a lot of the hotels, a lot of the restaurants, a lot of the shops and attractions are doing their most to provide good value for the Canadian traveler this summer.
A couple weeks ago, we did our 100th show from Rutland, Vermont, and we were coming up on the 89, and we actually saw, I think it was about six convoys, long convoys of military vehicles, including these huge guns. I don't know if they're howitzers or even larger than that. And I'm wondering, what on earth are they doing in Vermont? And then we saw a line of 30 Hummers and howitzers and whatnot, and I could just see the guy on the little radio going, rest area secure.
Yes, he was going to secure those rest areas. So,
can you imagine the guy sitting in the Johnny on the spot comes out?
All of a sudden, like, he sees that some
howitzer pointing at
rest
him.
Rest area
right,
is now occupied by the forces from Fort Devens, Massachusetts, or wherever they were coming from.
In addition to getting around New England, one of the beautiful places for vacations is right here in our own province.
Yes,
Air Montreal.
Air Montreal can get you around. There's a survey out from the Ministry of Tourism that says 47% of Quebecers will be taking a trip in Quebec last year. 72% plan to do it this year. And the way to get around Quebec economically, without restrictions, is Air Montreal. You call today, fly tomorrow. You don't have to buy a round-trip ticket or stay over Saturday night or reserve 2 weeks in advance. For example, Montreal to Bagotville, $99 each way plus tax. Air Montreal, places like Rouyn-Val-d'Or, Bonaventure, Île-de-la-Madeleine, Quebec City, they leave from their own VIP terminal building on Ryan Avenue in Dorval, where parking is free and no airport improvement fee to pay. Air Montreal, 631-2111, or on the internet at www.airmontreal.com.
And a song, a salute to things we'd like to see. Chad, roll it.
I'd like to see the coyote eat the road runner, and I'd like to see Knievel blown to bits. I'd like to see Rex Humbert lay his hands upon Marty B. But I'd love to see that Dolly Parton.
CIQC, Montreal.
Why pay more elsewhere when Point Claire Chrysler Jeep gives you the best deals on the best cars? Like a neon four-door LE 2000 on a 48-month lease from just $212 a month with $2,500 down and a 5-year warranty free. Or a 15th anniversary Caravan on a 36-month lease from as low as $269 a month. Or an Intrepid on a 36-month lease as low as $319 a month. Full details on super deals at Point Claire Chrysler Jeep, 335 Brunswick facing Fairview. Why pay more elsewhere?
Don't forget your best friends when you go on vacation. Call Langille Kennels in Dorval today, 631-8704. West Islanders have trusted Langilles with their pets since 1970. With an animal hospital right on the premises, pet owners can relax knowing that a veterinarian is not just on call, he's on site. And your pet will delight in Langilles' choice of diets and experience care just like at home. Plus, each dog enjoys the freedom of his own indoor and outdoor run. Your pet deserves the very best. Langille's Country Setting Kennels in Dorval, 631-8704.
Good morning, Tasso Patsikakis broadcasting live from Dormez-vous. I'm in the West Island. The specials are here and in Laval as well. Stuart's here marking down prices. Beatrice is over there going, what? What? How much? Come on, you got to be crazy. But we're going to save you up to 60% off. Plus, we pick up the tab on the GST and the PST, making sure that you sleep well. Oh, my goodness. A good night's rest and a brand new mattress set. Check it out. You'll save big time here at Dormez-vous, Centennial Plaza, Sources Boulevard, DDO, and in the Laval at 3952 Auto Route 440 near Curie-Labelle. Dormez-vous this weekend for your brand new mattress set.
Les Aliments M&M, Patty speaking.
Hello, my name is Walter, and my wife Linda has a problem.
Come again.
She insists on doing the shopping, you see. Tells me I'm too impulsive. Uh-huh. Well, if I'm impulsive, Linda's a possessive. Burgers. If I have to.
Barbecue one more burger.
Exactly.
Tell Linda you need a little variety. Like an M&M teriyaki sirloin steak, for instance. And how'd I know? Just call it women's intuition.
Wow, that's
amazing.
Yeah.
Les Aliments M&M. Hundreds of barbecue ideas, one aisle.
While in Montreal, guests of Travel World stay at the luxurious Hotel Dufour, offering informal elegance and a vibrant sense of space in each guest room and suite, all the comforts of home and office, from beautifully styled custom-crafted furniture to kitchenette convenience. Enjoy panoramic views of the St. Lawrence and Mount Royal, then step outdoors to a multitude of shops and restaurants at your doorstep. Upscale service for the discriminating business or leisure traveler. Hotel Dufour, 1390 4th Street at St. Catherine. Telephone 938-8333.
A photo from KCCI-TV in Des Moines, Iowa. Happy to be back on the air in Montreal again with Stephen Pickford and Travel World on AM 600 CIQC.
Talk Radio 600 CIQC.
Fear of Flying. Welcome back. It's Stephen Pickford, the hands of Chad behind the console. And we've got a guest on the line who's written a book called The Fearless Flyer's Handbook.
Yes, with Debbie Seaman.
Mm-hmm. And she's talking about various things. It's actually, I guess, addressed to those who
those people who are deathly afraid of flying but have to try to overcome that fear for business reasons or just to enjoy a vacation. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, Debbie. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
I like the title of one of these chapters, My Story, Struggling in the Grip of Terror.
Oh, yes,
talking about
it was.
Painting a picture with words.
Absolutely. Yeah, I used to be an absolute basket case. And I have to tell you, I feel so great on a plane now. It is just wonderful.
Now, how did you personally overcome that fear?
Well, you know, I finally sort of hit bottom with it. I just said, you know, I was at a point during a flight, and I said to my husband after a takeoff, oh, I just can't abide this terror any longer. And he goes, well, why don't you just do something about it? And it was like, whoa. But, you know, I knew we were living in Australia at the time, and I knew of the existence of this the Fearless Flyers course on which I based the book. And it was such a wonderful course that I tried to reproduce it in the book.
Now, was there any one particular experience that you had had before this that had led you to develop this fear?
Yeah, I used to fly all over the place. I'd go from New York to California for a long weekend. I used to love the idea of jetting all over the place. And then it was 1984, and I was going on the shuttle from New York to Washington, and all of a sudden there was a huge drop in altitude, or it seemed huge. Sometimes the pilots tell you later it wasn't that big. But you know, I just thought, in a few seconds, I thought, we're going down, we're going to die. Well, and my sister and my nephew were also with me, and everybody was terrified. And about 10 minutes later, of course, we leveled off, and the pilot said, you know, sorry, folks, we had to, you know, get out of the way of a small aircraft. And I'm sure it wasn't a near miss or anything, but, you know, that was the beginning. That's all it took. It just sort of got in there and started eroding my confidence. And every time I flew after that, I got worse and worse.
And you were just thinking about it each time. Yeah, sometimes it just takes one of those incidents. We were just talking before you came on the air about a flight that I took aboard a Dash 8 almost 3 years ago now, Montreal to Philadelphia. And when the pilot calls it severe turbulence and you hear the hailstones hitting the cockpit and you're bouncing up and down and you can't see anything out the window, you're figuring it's icing up. That can do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, turbulence can be absolutely terrifying, but in most cases, and I'm surprised because they usually stay well away from hail, you know, as part of the thunderstorms. But people really, when they're, you know, rocking and rolling up in the air up there, they think, oh my God, the plane is going to come down. But in fact, you know, it is almost unheard of for a plane to be, you know, knocked out of the sky by turbulence. If there's any problem, it's usually on landing. Or there was one case where a plane flew over an active volcano, and that definitely did it. But, you know, your pilot's not going to do that to you.
not to go directly into a storm. And most of the problems would be like wind shear upon landing, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and you know, I have a feeling that might have had, I don't know the facts, but that might have had something to do with what happened in Little Rock this week.
Also, the hydroplaning action, the wet runway, when the wheels touched down, they just couldn't grip the pavement.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of wind, and to tell you the truth, I'm surprised anybody would land with a thunderstorm that close to the airport, but, you know, as I said, I don't know the facts.
One of the stories out was that the Little Rock Airport was not equipped with Doppler radar or anything more than basically a 1970s type radar instrumentation, but that every television station in Little Rock and everyone else had more advanced weather reporting equipment than
really?
The airport.
Oh, I thought that the controllers were actually giving them quite an up-to-date report, but you know, when you think about accidents, I'm sure that a lot of fearful flyers took this as another reason to be absolutely terrified. And, you know, these days I look at these things and I just try not to let it touch me. And I just say, okay, I want to know what the facts were, but I really try to distance myself because I don't want to go back to where I was.
I really don't. What was bottom for you?
Well, just feeling just so out of control of my feelings. I think I was more terrified of the terror than anything else. You know, when you get up in the air, especially when the plane was taking off, and, you know, just feeling as if I so didn't want to be in my own skin. I was so terrified. And it's just a rotten way to feel, and people don't realize there is a choice. You know, you can either keep feeling like that, decide you never want to fly again and miss out on so many other things, or you can really make the choice, okay, I'm going to do what it takes to get over this thing.
You took a course that was in Australia, sponsored by Qantas Airlines, and there are other courses here being held in Canada, or Canada has them, and in the States, U.S. Airways, a number of other carriers mm-hmm. periodically have these courses. What did they follow in their program that helped you go from point A to point B and get over it?
Well, relaxation exercises are very important, breathing, but what really helped it for me, I think, was the knowledge of what goes on behind the scenes in aviation, because knowledge really is power. Once you realize all the factors that go into making flying safe, you start realizing that you are an awful lot safer than you in the air than you realize you are. And that for me was really the turning point and really getting into what was going on. So that's why in my book I interviewed the people that taught the course, so you are getting in their words, for instance, what is going on. The air traffic controller tells you about air traffic control. The pilot talks to you. And hearing from these experts directly how safe it is much more reassuring than if, you know, you or I were to tell somebody.
And you also have to think that these people are going up in the air themselves. If it was that unsafe, would they be putting their own lives at risk?
No way. No, they always say, hey, I want to come home too.
And one thing when you look at it, you just mentioned, like, for example, recent crash, I think that sometimes gets people so petrified again, but each crash is a learning experience in and of itself.
That's what you have to focus on, I think, that each time there is a mishap or an accident, it is so thoroughly studied so that nothing like that hopefully will ever happen again. I mean, look what they did with TWA and look at all the rewiring that's going on in all those Boeing jets.
Yes, they use everything as a learning experience. And some carriers, every time a crash happens, people will say to me, I will not fly that carrier. That carrier is now probably going to be the safest carrier around because their records are going to be reviewed very thoroughly. And there will be a whole pattern of programming afterwards to learn from what could be done better.
Oh, sure, sure.
The other thing I've noticed as far as a lot of airline crashes are concerned is you very rarely see the same cause in two accidents.
No, you don't. People talk about, wind shear, and I don't know what happened this time, but or they talk about this or that and all these, you know, frightening things that are happening, but usually you're right, you don't see the same cause, and people are, you know, the technology gets better and better, and you have to look at this, any accident, in context of how many planes took off that day or that month, you know, and you know, it's too bad that it's not an accident-free year as we had last year in the States. But you have a pretty good safety record up in Canada, don't you?
The Canadian carriers about the safest. When was the last time there was a problem? Air Canada was like 16 years ago this week when it was a the DC-9. The fire aboard the DC-9 en route from Houston that landed at Cincinnati. Fredericton, there were no fatalities. There were some injuries, but Fredericton slid off the runway, but there were no fatalities. There was Air Ontario with their F-28 at Dryden, which was, again, around 10 years ago.
Gimli glider.
Again, no fatalities.
Yeah.
Just more embarrassment.
That was lucky.
Oh, very, very lucky, but embarrassment
Thank
more
you to
than
the pilot who managed to pull that one out. They just didn't fill enough gas in the plane and ran out of gas. And I remember when Steve and I flew out to Vancouver, they put a DC. No, there was
720. It was a 727.
And they thought this thing could fly across the country. And they had to stop and refuel in Calgary. And I waited for him. He was 2 hours late getting off in Vancouver, and he's all excited. Yeah, we got the Gimli glider.
And, of course, somebody who wanted to be smart yelled it when the pilot came over the intercom and said, we have come across some heavy headwinds, and we now need to refuel, make an unexpected stop in Calgary. Somebody yelled, turn back, we've passed Gimli.
And the pilot. The crew was not amused.
God.
There'll always be somebody with a smart comment, and of course, it's never us, right?
Never us, right? We got to talk about pizza, Chad.
Okay, let's talk about pizza. I'm hungry. Let's get some.
All right.
Yes, it's coming up to 11:30 in Montreal. Time to start thinking about lunch. Time to start thinking about Pizza Donini, 383-6000. 31 locations in Greater Montreal. Just one number, 383-6000 for real great Montreal-style pizza from a Montreal company, piping hot, oven fresh, at your door, 383-6000. We'll stay on the line with Debbie Seaman when we return here on Travel World on AM 600.
Let's roll it, Chad.
Davey DeLash again.
Thundering the Banshee.
What the hell is a Banshee?
Seek help.
AM 600 Montreal.
Les Aliments M&M, Patty speaking.
Hello, my name is Walter, and my wife Linda has a problem.
Come again.
She insists on doing the shopping, you see, tells me I'm too impulsive. Uh-huh. Well, if I'm impulsive, Linda's obsessive. Burgers, if I have to.
Barbecue one more burger.
Exactly.
Tell Linda you need a little variety, like an M&M teriyaki sirloin steak, for instance. And how'd I know? Just call it women's intuition.
Wow, that's...
Amazing?
Yeah.
Les Aliments M&M. Hundreds of barbecue ideas, one aisle.
Take a one-hour vacation and soothe your body at Luxocor, mesotherapy at its finest. Enjoy a professional, therapeutic, Swedish, Californian, or stress-healing massage in a warm, inviting, upscale atmosphere given by a caring staff for whom your total comfort and well-being are of the utmost concern. Luxocor, 374-8181, open 7 days a week from 10 to 10 by appointment only. Your body deserves a break. Relax and enjoy at Luxocor today, 374-8181. Melt your cares away with Luxocor, 374-8181.
The Great Boy Matano Warehouse Sale is back. And during this incredible event, you'll find a whole range of furniture, home appliances, and electronics, including new and end-of-line models and demos, all at liquidation prices. You'll also benefit from our free delivery service within a 200-kilometer radius and from the same warranties as those offered in-store. So don't miss the Great Boy Matano Warehouse Sale on now until Sunday at the Liquidation Center located in St. Leonard, 8485 Lagenais Boulevard. See you there.
Via Rail is proud to be the official ground transportation carrier for Travel World's media correspondents. Business taking you to Toronto but tired of battling traffic on the 401, the confusion of Pearson Airport and high airfares? Next time, arrive refreshed and relaxed. Pamper yourself with Via One first-class service from downtown to downtown. A hot meal served at your seat, full stretch-out comfort that allows you to spend productive work time, not lose time en route. Via One, the way Montreal-Toronto travel was meant to be, from Via Rail, Canada's passenger train network.
This is Sharon Delaney at WKMG Channel 6 in Orlando, Florida. Keep listening for my exclusive Florida reports on Travel World with Stephen Pickford on CIQC.
CIQC.
the air with the greatest of ease. He is the man who missed the trapeze. Willem Backus, Stephen Pickford, Matt Hansa, Chad.
Those wonderful words of wisdom from the mouth of Willem Backus. Words to live by.
Yes, words to live by. You should write a book about the life and times of
Stephen Pickford. Yes, you know, Mao wrote his red book, and you could write a book too, Willem.
What book? The Book of Chad.
There was a man from Nantucket.
Who didn't want to kick the bucket. Okay, let's not continue.
Yeah, let's get back on track here with Debbie Seaman, author of
Seaman,
the
Fearless Flyers Handbook. In stereo were available. And she has a bunch of chapters in this book. One of those, which of course is a topic that was a phrase that we hear an awful lot, but nobody believes. Size doesn't matter. Why your plane will stay up. Debbie, tell us about that.
Well, it's just that, you know, you've heard so many people flying in a 747 just say they are terrified because they say, how could anything this big get off the ground, you know, with all these people and this monster plane? And in fact, as you learn in a Fear of Flying course, they all fly on the same principle. They, a tiger moth, a little tiger moth, will take off the same way as a 747. Now, don't ask me to explain Bernoulli's theorem of, you know, how they stay up in the air and the air flowing over the wings and everything, but it is the same principle. And those things are powerful, and, you know, the big ones. And they have been through a lot of testing and a lot of, you know, testing with a lot of abuse, too. So they can take a lot.
So there's nothing really to do with the weight. Well, it's the amount of thrust that each engine is proportional for the thrust to get it into the air. Now, people will also say, we don't want to take a small aircraft. It's the reverse principle. We don't want to fly in a small aircraft because it perhaps is more susceptible to a problem in the air.
Well, I don't know about that in terms of commercial. I think private aircraft I would be a little leery of, personally. Some people really aren't. But commercial planes, you know, these pilots are really, really well trained. And some people actually say they don't feel as nervous on a small plane because they feel a little bit more in control, quote-unquote, or closer to the pilot. They can see what's going on.
Well, Vic Pappalardo, who started an airline in Canada many years ago called City Express, now he's just charters out Dash 7s and Dash 8s. He told me once, many years ago, that, Dash 8 is such a safe aircraft, it can land in the parking lot at Fairview Shopping Center. And I said, well, that's if they had, like, 10 hours notice to clear out all the light standards and all the cars. So that made me feel really good, Victor.
He meant on top of Fairview.
On top of the roof of the mall.
I think our own Manuel, who flies a Cessna with Joel Gordon in the afternoon for our traffic reports, would probably have something to say about Manuel's flying stunts.
Yeah.
There's always something. Well, I think if somebody thinks about it long enough, they will either come out on one side or the other of the issue, and they'll always use something to justify why they don't fly. The plane is too small, the plane is too big, and that is why they. It's justification, like with any fear.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I talked to somebody in Australia recently, and he said, you know, I can always rationalize this. And I just said, look, you've got a choice. If you want to live that way, go ahead and live that way. But if you want to change and go places and not be a basket case, you can change. Anybody, but you really have to want to. There's no question about that. Because some people just say, you know, if you're happy just staying in your hometown and never seeing Europe or never seeing Australia or wherever or the States, you know, go ahead. But, you know, if you really want to, it really is limiting your life. And not only that, it's your self-confidence really takes a beating. And getting over a fear like this can really make you want to overcome other problems as well.
That boosts the whole self-confidence. That's the entire issue. These relaxation exercises, are they, how do they work? I mean, is there a particular program that one follows, or are they just something that works for one person and works for somebody else differently?
Well, they can work for anybody. The thing is, if in a nutshell, if your body is relaxed, you know, it's impossible to be afraid. The two of them just don't go together, because when you're afraid, you know, your body gets all tensed up. And, you know, when you relax, and you can use various exercises to relax your body, like the deep breathing and clenching and unclenching muscles. There's a whole chapter on it in the book.
Now, I'm just thinking about karate class, that they'd say, breathe in, breathe out.
Yes.
And I think that
up and breathe, everybody.
Up and breathe, and the same thing would work if you're sitting in your airline seat. those deep breaths. I always follow, people follow routines. I always follow a routine, and this is probably goes into superstition or habit or what have you. But whenever a plane is directly at the end of the runway and I hear the engines revving up and I hear the little bell go off, you're cleared for takeoff, I pop a candy in my mouth. And hey, it works for me.
Yeah, I mean, also, you know, for fearful flyers, you know, I always tell people, hey, take the book along. It's very comforting when you're right about to take off or land or whatever it is that scares you. Read the chapter about it. You know, another thing, you know, if you haven't read the book, though, another, you know, do you think your listeners want to hear a couple of tips?
Oh, certainly, yes.
Yeah. Well, I always tell people, if you haven't read the book, you've got to fly tomorrow. Go to the airport early. First of all, you know, go on a full stomach, too, because food can be a calmant, I think. And, you know, not too much caffeine, and certainly stay away from the alcohol, because you're not going to lick this fear if you medicate.
That's for sure.
But go watch the planes take off and land. Get there early before your flight and watch them take off and land. It's mesmerizing, and it's great therapy. You'll see that they're not crashing left and right. They're, you know, this is business as usual. It's no big deal. National flights, you can go talk to them while, you know, in flight. But I always tell people, go up to the pilot, go to the flight deck on your way in, ask to see the pilot, and tell him or her that you were a fearful flyer, and just ask a couple of questions. Because when that pilot tells you how safe it is, that really packs much more of a punch than, you know, if I tell you directly that it's safe. Discuss it with them. They're usually very happy to talk to you, and it's very, very reassuring.
And you can see that there's a real person up there, and you make that personal contact. That can be reassuring for somebody.
Yeah, and the fact that they love flying, and they love the planes that they're flying. You know, they talk about them in very loving terms.
As long as you don't get somebody who's on his last day and say, I'm quitting the airline after this flight, that could be the least reassuring thing. We flew on an airline once, you know, even the check-in personnel, he said, I'm tired of working here. It gives you sometimes that opposite effect.
Lou Bruinsma.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Eastern Airlines.
Eastern Airlines, yes.
Don't forget that all.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
Oh, yes. So sometimes it can do the opposite, but overall, I would say that would be that could be work for some people. Now, where would somebody get this book?
Well, I'm not familiar. I think any major, any bookstore should have it, and if they don't, you know, they have it in their computers. They can order it very quickly if they don't have it, but most of the major ones should have it. You can get it online from Amazon.com, you know, with the press of a button, certainly. It's pretty available.
Essentially, this book is a collection of information and vignettes of stories of people, but more information. I guess your main theory as you're advancing in the book is that to conquer your fear of flying, just learn a lot more about how planes work.
Knowledge is power.
And knowledge is power, and there are also some case histories of people who have overcome it, so you can relate to their fears and see that other people who were as bad as you are, you know, have done this, have beaten this. Believe me, I was there.
And what is the feedback? Have you received any feedback from readers who have picked up the book and have followed the format and said, yes, now we're doing a lot better, we can now board an aircraft?
Yeah, I have, actually, and some fear of flying courses here in the States are recommending the book to people as a follow-up, because you really do need to maintain this as well. And I've been getting some good feedback from it. And I recently went to Australia. It was just coming out in Australia in March, and there was tremendous interest there because, well, it's an Australian course, but
yeah.
Also I don't think there had been any book coming out about that subject, and people were really interested and believe me, the fearful flyers were just coming out of the woodwork.
Sometimes it just needs something like that to get them to realize that they have a problem. You also mentioned in the book, for example, one of those big fears that people have. They hear little noises, big noises, and they're so fearful that, you know, parts are falling off in the middle of the sky or what have you, but you tell them what they mean.
Yes, and once you know what they mean, you can actually wait for them. And it's really good to be involved. The last time I flew, I waited for the noises, and I just said, listen, kids, you know, that's the landing gear going up. You know, I said to my children, or listen, that's the flaps being retracted. And once you know, and then you get into it and listen, you really feel as if you know what's going on behind the scenes.
And you start to listen for a change in the pitch of the engines. Quite often they take off, and then they all of a sudden, you might get the sensation that the engines have completely cut out, but it's noise abatement, or you're gliding at a particular altitude waiting for your assignment to get
That was a
climb.
Big one for me, that cutback and the power, and I thought, oh my God, this is it, we're going down. And
I got a question for you on this one here. You raise a few questions in your books, and you're talking about the course offered by Qantas Airways, but I'd like you to give us this answer. What does happen if all four engines on a 747 fail?
They glide.
They
Believe
glide.
It or not, that big bird will glide about 100 miles. And usually within that time, they can get the planes. I don't think that has ever happened, that a plane, all four engines have quit, except there's one story I tell in my book where it flew too near a volcano and ash got caught up in the engines. This was a British Airways flight over Indonesia, and the ash got caught up in the engines and they all quit, and they did have quite a drop in altitude. But within that short period of time, they got those engines, managed to get them cleared out and, you know, turning over and fired up again, and they were fine. Meanwhile, probably half the passengers had a heart attack, but nobody was hurt. And, you know, it just went to show, but the thing did glide. A plane is always flying. It's never falling, even when the engines aren't going. But that's never happened, but they will. It just operates just like a big glider.
Well, that's a great summary for the whole book. Basically, it's information about this. One of the other points is relaxation. Debbie, it's time for us to take another break, but thank you for joining us here.
Yes, and we can recommend
thank
the...
Thank you. Pleasure. I'd love to fly up to Montreal. It's just a beautiful city.
Oh, you bet.
We like it here. Debbie Seaman, author of the Fearless Flyer's Handbook, 10-Speed Press.
Learning to Beat the Fear of Flying with the experts at the Qantas Clinic. There's a whole section in the back of different places and books.
Other reference sources, yes.
For conquering the fear of flying. There's also Air Canada offers a course right here in Dorval. So if you want to conquer your fear of flying, that's a great way to do it. It's amazing the care that they actually put in to these airplanes and the actual procedures involved with flying.
Once you see behind the scenes.
There you go. Let's roll the break, Chad.
Every time you call my name,
oh, Chad,
I heat up like a burning flame. Burning flame, full of desire.
Yeah.
Kiss me, baby, let the fire get higher.
AM600 Montreal.
Tassel Patsy Cac is broadcasting live from Dorme Vu in Centennial Plaza. The sale goes on here and in Laval as well. It is the weekend to shop for your brand new mattress set, for your bed, for your brand new linens, your duvet, whatever you need for the bedroom. Boy, oh boy, you'll find it at both locations. You'll find it for less. We are the 1999 Consumer's Choice Award in 16 categories. We're number one, folks, because we take care of our customers first and foremost. Prices, yes, indeed. If on selected Primo queen-size sets, if you buy the mattress set, you get a headboard, no charge, just for buying the mattress set from Primo. Super specials from the Sealy people. We have a representative here from Sealy. He's walking around with an envelope that's got a lock on it, and he has a hip gun in case someone tries to steal the prices. But you are the one who will make out like a bandit. No GST, no PST. We pick up the tab on that, and we'll save you up to 60% across the board. Whatever you do, shop Dorme Vu this weekend, 3952 Auto Route 440 near Curie Laval and Chaminade Laval and Centennial Plaza. Sources Boulevard DDO. Dorme Vu.
Before heading off on your next trip, head off to Jet Setter. Jet Setter is Montreal's travel accessory center with the largest selection of travel accessories in Eastern Canada. Everything that you could possibly want relating to travel, all in one location. Money belts, water purifiers, miniature binoculars, travel irons, guidebooks and maps, plus converters and adapters for all your electrical needs, including computers. What's more, you'll find every imaginable kind of rolling luggage, including duffel bags, knapsacks and travel packs from such name brands as Tumi, Travel Pro, Skyway, Lusportsack, Kipling, Timberland, Eagle Creek, Briggs & Riley, and more. At Jet Setter, I found you don't pay more for quality and personal service. In fact, you'll save with Jet Setter, and GST is included in every price you see. Jet Setter, Montreal's Travel Accessory Center, 66 Laurier West, between Clark and St. Urbain. Telephone 271-5058.
When we get hungry, we know where to go. We're all going down to Picasso. We're always open.
Are you tired of being held hostage to the airline's demands to stay over a Saturday night and reserve 2 weeks in advance just to get a reasonable airfare? Fed up with paying $1,000 or more on your business trips to the United States? Now there's an answer to every business traveler's dream with Zagory Travel's USA on Business fares to over 50 key business centers throughout America. Reserve up to 3 days in advance, stay just 2 days, not requiring a Saturday, and count the savings. $395 plus taxes to Los Angeles, for instance, compared to over $2,000 plus taxes normally applicable without that obtrusive Saturday night stayover. You don't sacrifice comfort or convenience either, flying with one of America's top five fly carriers with full in-flight service, seat selection, and frequent flyer mileage. Call the corporate travel specialist at Zagory Travel in Dollar today, 626-3132, to find out how you can shave your travel budget by up to 75%. Your next business trip to the USA should begin with a call to Zagory, 626-3132.
Oh, hi, Chad. This is Maria from Salisbury. We'd love to show you around. Come on down. We have the place is great. I know just where to take you. The boys will explain it to you when they get back.
CIQC.
Yes.
Willem Back is Stephen Pickford, the hands of Chad behind the console. So Chad is looking to have another dial-a-date on Travel World, huh?
Yes, the thought has passed through his mind.
Well, we're going to be very, very careful this time.
There will be a screening process in place.
Well, the thing is that it was a rather successful dial-a-date last time we did this. We're going to do that. We're also going to be sending Chad around doing what Stephen and Chad have put together called the Chad Kennedy Hunt for Hotties.
That's sponsored by Air Montreal, flying to those remote locations in Quebec, people who want to make it to the big time.
Well, he can follow in the footsteps of some great people and fly up to Chicoutimi.
Oh, yes, on a Friday night.
On a Friday night.
And come back. Well, they can't come back on Sunday because they don't fly Sunday, so come back first thing Monday morning.
Yes, and check out some of those famous people, those famous parties that we...
Well, we hear all about those parties, and...
we'll get them dressed up in one of those little T-shirts, you know, touch the hands of Chad, you know, with a little microphone.
Microphone and great moments in radio promotion. We were talking before about the British Airways plane that went over the volcano and all the engines got clogged up. Mm-hmm. Reminds me of the great moment in airline public relations, or two great moments, actually. Mm-hmm. I don't think we've ever mentioned them on the show. One, British Airways last year, 777, coming into Montreal, and Canada Geese went into an engine. Of course, the engine blew, and it came in all...
On a 777?
Yes. It's safe landing, and it could land one engine, no problem.
Must have been a Rolls-Royce Trent.
But Honor Verrier, who has sort of taken over the position of Nancy Vaughan, who's the Dean of Airline PR people in North America, she's the PR spokeswoman for British Airways, and she said a very memorable line. She said passengers were not in any danger, but the Canada Geese were just so excited. They were a welcoming committee for our first flight of our 777 into Montreal. So
there's a spin on
that.
There's
a spin, yes. It reminds us of Don Pengelly talking about City Express earlier with Vic Pappalardo landing in Fairview Shopping Center. And Don Pengelly, their PR man, said at one time they had a Dash 7 flight that was flying from Quebec City to Sept-Îles, and around 6,000, 7,000 feet. The door flew open because it had not been latched properly, and there was sort of mass confusion in the cabin, and the stewardess apparently went berserk and almost fainted and was crying, and she was shouting, and afterwards some of the passengers complained that they couldn't hear her safety messages, and Don Pengelly, his spin on it was, because of the inoperative nature of the internal communication system, our personnel had to raise their voices in order to be heard above the rush of outside air. So there's always a PR man.
Yeah, just like on Aloha Airlines.
Well, see, those are PR people who are actively involved in their job. And here's a nice another man who's right on top of the job, Dave Castelvetter, U.S. Airways. Press release this week, U.S. Airways emphasizes timely departures. And they mention a number of things that U.S. Airways is doing, that they will actually close the door 5 minutes before the scheduled time so everyone can be seated and they can get the safety message out of the way, and they're trying to shorten their ground time between stops and get back up in the air and maintain their position for takeoff. These are all very admirable, and U.S. Airways has certainly improved their on-time performance record, and they are committed to being on time at U.S. Airways. Mm. However, Continental Airlines, I mean, this is an airline that if you thought when Frank Lorenzo was the chairman, this company couldn't keep time. I mean, remember, they used to give new meaning to the term arrives on Eastern time.
Airlines being part of Continental.
Yes, being part of Continental, Texas Air Corporation at the time. I've never seen a Montreal-New York flight be 5 hours late on a perfectly sunny, normal day. Monday night, this past Monday, Memorial Day in the States, May 31st, Continental's flight was supposed to leave at 6:45 p.m. It didn't leave until 11:40 p.m. Would have arrived at like 1:20 in the morning in Newark, and nobody knew, nobody could tell me at Continental Reservations whether they were going to be giving the people any vouchers for a hotel. Nobody was saying anything whether they were going to give people vouchers for a meal. They were just saying, well, you got to go because our flight the next morning was full. Take it or leave it. Now, I'm getting conflicting messages as to what subsequently they did for the people at Dorval. But 5 hours late to New York, hey, might as well code share it with Greyhound. You get there faster. And afterwards, mm-hmm. I asked for a PR spokesperson to call me. Well, I'm still waiting. We're talking about Honor Verrier. We're talking about Dave Castelvetter. We're talking about Don Pengelly, other airlines. They're PR people right on the ball. Well, mm-hmm. Continental, we're still waiting.
The challenge has been thrown down.
And they said, here, this is like the pot calling the kettle black. They said, well, we do all right. Comair's late, too. Comair. This is like, you know, who's worse? Comair has never been 5 hours late. I will give them that. They've been an hour late, an hour and a half late, but 5 hours, uh-uh. And this is the flight. Continental keeps doing all these promotions. Oh, we're flying people. We're the carrier, the alternative to American Airlines to fly to Central and South America. Normally, people would automatically think South America, you fly on American Airlines. They quite often dominate that route. But Continental is coming on with some routes to Lima, Santiago, Sao Paulo. That 6:45 p.m. flight, which is always late, is the one that people take to connect to these flights. Now, if you're a business traveler paying $4,000 plus for a business class ticket, are you going to want to be stranded for a full 24 hours from an important business meeting because your flight doesn't connect in Newark? I mean, Tuesday, the flight did a little better. It was only an hour 15 late. And Friday, it was only an hour late. So, I mean, it's never been on time. And I'm monitoring it. If you want to have, you know, keep up to date with what's going on at the airport, you check out Aeroport de Montréal's website, admtl.com, and you can get the real-time information as to which flights are arriving on time, which ones are late. Tyrum Romanian Airlines started service this week to Montreal, a continuation of one flight a week that goes to Chicago, one flight a week that goes to New York. An extra international carrier now coming to Montreal because of consolidation of service at Dorval. The flight comes in from Bucharest, it's on time. The flight from Newark, 5 hours late.
And well, is this Newark's fault? Because we know whenever we fly Air Canada going to Toronto, it's Toronto's fault.
Same flight. No, I think the fault with Newark, Air Canada's flights are a little bit late. I mean, obviously 20, 30 minutes late. They're not 5 hours late. The problem with Continental is that they have bought the Embraer regional jet, and they admit that they have problems with these planes. Now, of course, as the whole trade fight between Brazil and Canada is, Bombardier says Embraer wooed customers with financing deals. Well, that is probably the biggest reason why Continental bought them, because Continental has been bankrupt twice in its history, so maybe some of the other manufacturers were leery about selling to them. I don't know. But Continental has more Embraers in their fleet than every other airline in the world combined. And they admit that plane is quite often... That same plane, one of the reasons why it was 5 hours late, they said it had to return earlier in the day for a forced landing at Newark. Oh, that gives me so much great faith.
Yes, conquer your fear of flying.
Take Continental.
Fly Canada Regional
Jet. Canada Regional Jet. When was the last time? They say, you know, there's a problem with the Embraer, but Canada Regional Jets are a reliable aircraft.
Yeah.
And,
Well
designed, well built. The orders are coming in, and they've conquered the market.
Also, salute to Air Canada's maintenance services right here in the Montreal hangar. They're the ones who actually refurbished all the Northwest Airlines DC-9s, and they're shiny, new, beautiful
aircraft. You look at that, that's workmanship, that is craftsmanship, and that's attention to detail. It's all in the maintenance. If you maintain your aircraft right, mm-hmm. they're going to be on time. You're going to minimize your downtime, so yeah. They're not going to be 5 hours late. They're going to be looked after and up in the air carrying passengers.
Another tip for avoiding delays, I mean, fly with a flag carrier rather than a charter. In 94, I went down to Florida with Capital Air.
Oh, yes, which
was
spit the dust
by, and Express USA. And we were supposed to leave. It was a Sunday at 10 in the morning. We left at 11:30 p.m. that night. Now, we were flying into Orlando, supposed to drive up to Jacksonville. Now, had we arrived on time, we would have had enough time during the day to get to our hotel in Jacksonville, Florida. We arrive around 3 in the morning. They have no idea. They're all mixed up at customs there. It was like 3:30 in the morning. It was 6 a.m. By the time I finally got up to Jacksonville, I flaked out. I had to
pull over
on the highway, snooze in the car, and before I made it finally to Jacksonville. What a nightmare.
Charter companies, you know, that was at least a flight that left from Dorval, but now the charter flights even to Florida are leaving from Mirabel, and sometimes at strange times. And, of course, because Mirabel is not a pre-cleared point for U.S. Customs, you're going to go through U.S. Customs when you arrive at points like Orlando and Fort Lauderdale, which increases your delays, because there may not be many problems with Canadians arriving, but you're competing with people that they're having to do thorough checks on that are coming in on flights from Europe and South America. Avoid delays that way.
Yeah, stay away from the charters, especially Canada 3000.
check the regular scheduled airlines.
That's for sure. Well, Air Canada's done an awfully good job for us.
Oh, yes, they've worked well with us. I'm heading off aboard Air Canada this coming Friday. Next week I'll be in Chicago at the Four Seasons Hotel on the Magnificent Mile, North Michigan Avenue. And next Saturday I'll be at the Radio Hall of Fame, the Museum of Broadcast Communications. I'll be looking for the plaque that says Willem Backus Inductee. We'll be talking about summer getaways and weekend fun in
Chicago.
That'll
be radio infamy.
Yes.
Join us next week on Travel World. And I'll be here. Stephen will be there.
Have a great week.
Lost and found and turned around by the fire in your eyes. You made me cry, you told me lies, but I can't stand to say goodbye. Mama, I'm coming home. I could be right, I could be wrong. It hurts so bad, it's been so long. Mama, I'm coming home. Selfish love, yeah, we're both alone. The right before the fall.
You're listening to AM 600 in Montreal, Canada's first radio station.
It's 12 o'clock.